Good morning. This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him very closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." God's word is life.
Thanks be to God.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. So if your time to you is worth saving, well, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Oh, for the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are a-changing. For the times, they are a-changing. Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Oh, don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. Oh, the battle outside is raging, and it'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times, they are a-changing. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land. Oh, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Oh, your old road is rapidly aging, So get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times they are a-changin'. For the times they are a-changin'. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing. For the times they are a-changing. For the times they are a-changing. For the times they are a-changing.
As we explore Luke's gospel for the fifth Sunday in a row, and some of the teachings, that difficult teachings that Jesus has been giving his followers and others about how the times are changing when we follow God's ways and not human ways. And so today in our scripture reading from Luke's gospel, we heard Jesus inviting those who were poor and rejected at the time. Now, when we hear those words, we might be inspired for a brief moment, but I think for us in our modern lives, we just know that the idea is totally impractical, right? But it would have been different to those who had heard it straight from Jesus' mouth. His words would have been disturbing, anger-producing, shocking, scandalous, and extremely insulting. People lived in an honor-slash-shame culture. And in that culture, they were intensely sensitive to status and recognition. And there would have been probably nothing more humiliating as having your host ask you to move to a lower position at a social gathering. Now, we need to understand that Jesus just wasn't giving a Ms. Manners talk on table etiquette. Oh, no, he wasn't. It was ever so much more serious than that. Because we heard how he told them not only to ignore the social payoff and reward of their status-filled invitations, he also told them exactly who they should invite to dinner. And they were the ones that were totally opposite to those who would be on the popular guest lists. They were the very people who could not ever think of rewarding hospitality or to invite the host back in return. So what Jesus was saying is that it was time for those who were successful to stop counting the costs of that success, to stop looking at the rewards and the benefits, and instead to start living from a sense of abundance and blessing, which we know is for all God's people. So counting, that's so prevalent in our lives that I think we forget it even exists, even though it takes a tremendous toll on us. You know, clergy are really bad for counting. We count numbers, and when we get together at clergy gatherings, we brag about the numbers, if they're good. If they're bad, we're silent. But you and I might also count our bank accounts. or count the opinions of our friends and family on what we wear or what we do. And why are we counting? Because we are told and we are convicted that there isn't enough. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough prestige, not enough resources, certainly not enough recognition, not enough things that we could be attached to. You name it, we count it. And that conviction is unquestionable, really, because so much in our culture, and particularly the advertisements that we're relentlessly bombarded by if we have a television, or even now on internet, tells us that there simply isn't enough. But what if there was enough? Would that make a difference in our own peace of mind and in the way that we treat others? What might it look like if we stopped our counting and did as Jesus said by starting to share our abundance and our blessing? What if we acted on Jesus' injunction that the way to experience joy is to hand out abundant gifts? Gifts of dignity and worth and value, the very things that we have been blessed with. Hand those to people who seldom hear words of kindness or inclusion. You see, because the truth in God's realm is that wealth and position and comfort are a blessing only when they are shared and used for the betterment of all the human family. And often we confuse privilege with blessing. And I talk about me too. So those of us who have been born and raised and who live in developed countries, well, we are hugely privileged relative to others who are born and live in developing countries. And when we name privilege as God's blessing, God's personal blessing for us, what we do is we tend to spiritualize God's blessing for those who are less privileged. Because we see, those of us who are privileged, we see God's blessing as material. We're privileged if we have a nice house or condo, if we can travel, if we have 3 square meals a day, etc. But for those who are not privileged, it's spiritual. And maybe that's a reason why churches are declining in numbers in developed places and why they're growing in areas that are developing. Because people in developing places can count only on God. Wealth and birthplace and race and class and gender and sexuality and age and access and health, we count those as divine blessings, but they're really the result of privilege. And God calls us then to continue the work that Jesus did by leveling the playing field for all. And we can do that only when we choose to turn our comfortable privilege into blessings. Because in God's economy, all are blessed. Now, this is my last Sunday here amongst you as the minister, so I can say things that might be disturbing. But no, I think it needs to be said that one of the reasons why we do go to church, or it should at least be a reason, is to practice putting into action what it's like in God's economy. You see, we come to church to be nourished in God's word, and we come to church to be taught about God's ways. We even come to church to be corrected in our perceptions. And we come to church to practice, like I said, to practice putting it into action, what it is we're learning and growing in. And with enough practice, then we can be ready to take what we know to be true and what we are living out there into the world that God loves so much, where there are so many who are starving, who are hurting, who are ignored, who are excluded, and who are shamed. Because at every human gathering, and dare I say this, even the human gathering at cup and conversation here after church, there are people who are popular, and there are people who are not so. There are people who we think are a delight to be with, and there are people we struggle with. And our tendency is to mix with those we feel comfortable with, those we like. There are people that we naturally gravitate to, and there are people that we might choose to stay away from. So, what if today we practice what Jesus was telling them and us now to do? What if today, after church, at coffee, each one of us made a choice to intentionally go to speak with one person that we might not sit down with normally? What if we looked around and saw someone who was sitting alone? Or saw someone who was sitting at a table with a bunch of people but who was not being included in the conversation? What if we made an opening into that conversation for them? Because if we don't build that kind of community here where it's safe to do so, we won't have as much to share when we go outside these doors into the world. So yesterday on Facebook, I saw a quote. And that quote said, "If you are more fortunate than others, build a longer table, not a taller fence." And I leave you with the question, who's going to be sitting at your table today? Amen.